I am unashamed. What about you?
So this, we ended our teal season this past weekend. I would say overall it was a bust.
Yeah. It's according to how you look at it. I mean, some people get wrapped up in the how many did we get, and that's the litmus test of why you do it.
So it says a man with journals.
It's just, as the old DU man said, enjoying the great outdoors.
No, I agree with you.
I agree.
Sun come up, you know, and we see. But we don't fix it up for blue-winged teal for mainly one reason. You said, well, could you get more ducks on the premises? Well, of course we could.
Yeah.
But if we spend all the time and effort to get ready a big teal spot, where we're using up a lot of very valuable grass and whatnot too early, September, too early for regular duck season. So we'd rather save it for the main duck season for one reason. The table, as a table fare,
the
blue-winged teal, even
in
the
fact,
Cajuns have to admit, it
in
takes
fact,
a
I
lot of
say,
garlic. It takes a lot of garlic to knock that wing out.
I would say
out.
The blue-winged teal is at the bottom of the list in terms
He's right above a shoveler.
Yeah. Right above a shoveler, right in there, pretty close, both of them.
And it's their diet, I assume. They come down earlier. You know, I've always assumed that it's because there's not as much water. So
you take a bird that smells like a sewer pond.
That's right.
That's the smell.
That's the smell.
And I've tried a lot of different concoctions. Maybe some of the guys in South Louisiana could give us a...
Well, we found some guys, Jace and Jay have found some guys that take
Houston.
Them and eat them and
well,
cook
that,
them.
This was embarrassing. Look, Jay said there's a guy at that feed store across from Duck Commander who will take blue winged teal. So on the last day, well, the next to last day, we divided up. I don't know if y'all want to give your take on that. I wanted to bring my dog, and because he hadn't hunted.
Well, and we were taking Phyllis, and we filmed it for In the Woods. So, by the way, if you don't have In the Woods, you can see that. It's really interesting. So it was Phyllis's hunt with Dad. It was the first daddy-daughter hunt we've ever had, which was kind of strange and different.
Isn't that something, Phil? Phil, were you? Boy, how did you feel about
it? All I can say is through the years, I have mellowed big time.
When you see
me,
good.
When
You're
you see
a
me with
dad.
A, you see me with a female, I don't care whether it's my mother, bless her soul, or my daughter.
Or your wife.
You say, well, here comes old Rob. Here goes going in that duck hunt this morning. I got a woman with me. They're like, whoa. That old guy getting old now.
Well, we've
these
never
gray whiskers. You boys, you learn when the whiskers start turning gray. There's a lot of things that you say. You know, she's the daughter. She's never been duck hunting. She finds out I'm her dad.
Yep. And so she loves the outdoors. And it was funny because when she was growing up,
I showed her what she.
Yeah,
was,
you were like teaching her stuff.
I was giving her a little glimpse of. To prepare herself.
First thing she did was get a shell hung up at the gun, so we had to dig that out.
You know, well, think about it. The girl never has duck hunted, so when it came time to load your weapons, in other words, the reason I had her seated within arm's length of me is I was monitoring the way she was putting the shell. She went through the course, the wildlife people gave her a course.
like a 5-hour.
Well, yeah. you have to go through the
right because she just
so she
gun.
Had the elementary things, but still, you know, you take a woman with a loaded gun, she's never duck hunted. In other words, she's got 3 shells in the barrel of a shotgun. I tend to stay close to that and watch that very carefully.
Plus, we had the whole safety conversation about not shooting in front of people.
Yep.
You know, stuff.
I
like
didn't
that.
Want to ring in old Dad's ears, you know, shooting over my
well,
head and all
let's
that
let's face
stuff.
It, Dad, you're hearing so bad. At this point, I don't think it would make any difference.
But having thought about it, Phil, when you took me duck hunting, when you came to Jesus and got lined out, I mean, one of the best moves ever, because I discovered a God consciousness really when I went duck hunting the first time. I mean, it might have been weighing on me that things are different. You know, my family's getting back together, but
it's a beautiful thing.
That was top 3 moments in my life. So I, you know, who knows?
When you're sitting in a duck blind and you're right, you know, daylight, whether you see any ducks or anything else, I mean, just being out there and being a part of it and experiencing it, you know, drinking a hot cup of coffee in a beautiful surrounding. I mean, it is. It's a spiritual.
That's a lot of people. They misunderstand that when someone says we're going to come along and take up your guns, well, the political part and the dastardly act that would be here we are, people who, I mean, our entire life, we slept as children on pillows and mattresses. Mm-hmm. No difference to the guy, the pillow man. He's a good dude. But the bottom line is, the women picked pillow. The ducks, and they would take those feathers, and that's what we slept on. And there was no cleaning part going, and sending them through some kind of machine that cleans them all up. It was just duck feathers, and they sewed them together. The women did.
Yep.
Well, we slept on that. So I was smelling ducks from the time I was first bed I ever slept in. I slept on duck feathers.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the true story, I came in with some wood ducks one time, and I was in my prime. I was a lean machine then. So I had my wood ducks, and I come in there. I counted them, I knew I had, I don't know what it was, six, seven. So I looked around. And I said, I thought I had six ducks. I said, maybe I left one in my truck, As I went out there, I looked in my truck. No. So I came back in there, and Miss Kay said, well, Jace really loves ducks. He was holding that duck a while ago.
How old was it?
You were like two.
I would say you were about. I'd say 2 or 3 years old. He was walking.
Yeah.
But I said, she said, you might ought to go back there. He may have that duck, where he slept there. So I walked back there, and Jace was in bed asleep, and he had that wood duck like that, crouched like that, next to him, like he was hugging a pillow, So I got a three-year-old hugging a duck in the sleep. I looked down and I said, there's the duck hunter out of the bunch right there.
That turned out to be true.
It sure did.
Jace has the most ability.
He loved him from the time he's 3 years old.
That wouldn't have worked, though, for much more than a day, Jace.
I just eased over there because I thought, you give us a couple of days and this would be wrong. So I just eased down there and I eased that Woody out of his arms.
Two things probably happened there. I realized I had a love for duck hunting, and I battled duck lice my entire life.
Had a transfer.
If you sleep with a duck as a pillow, you will have lice.
All ducks have lice that crawl around on them. You get used to them. Well, you're picking one of them, and the lice is coming up your arm. They're pretty tough little things. Yeah. You gotta hard
to kill.
Hard to
and
kill.
They get on your body. So Jason, another thing.
They wouldn't hurt you if you ate them, probably, but
Well, yeah, who'd want to do that?
I never considered eating.
I guess ducks eat them. So another thing was, we probably, from that era of our lives, you probably didn't have a lot of stuffed animals around. We were a little bit Spartan on the toys back in that era.
You've seen a dog looking for a flea. He's got his teeth going real quick.
Yeah.
He's trying to get that between his teeth.
Yeah.
Well, a duck louse, a duck, they'll light, and they'll turn around their neck, and they'll start going in their feathers like that.
They're doing the same thing.
What's that duck's doing? He's like, he's eating his feathers. I said, no, he's hunting them duck louse.
That's right.
You might have stumbled on a new product, Lice Krispies.
Hey.
I
don't think eating them will kill you, because probably from time to time I might have.
So
by the time we get done cleaning them,
one of you entrepreneurs out there on Unashamed Nation, come up with that one, Lice Krispies. Let's see how.
It's organic.
Well, you betcha.
Protein. Yep. To finish the story, so we were separated, but I actually had a decent hunt. And y'all saw, because we had the, 7-inch range.
We saw these survivors come by moving south.
Oh, yeah. They were heading out. Jason said, on to Mexico.
We couldn't hear him shooting because
the wind was coming.
He was a mile north of us, and we had a south wind.
Right.
And the south wind was, we couldn't hear him. So we didn't hear him shoot. Plus, he's shooting due north. He's in the blind that was facing north.
Yeah.
Well, he was boom, boom, boom. The gun was pointed away from us a mile away. Well, we didn't hear him shoot. But then Stone with this high-tech walkie-talkie.
Kudos to the black box.
Black box.
It was giving us a play-by-play.
And Jace was giving a play-by-play while we looked across the tree line, and coming from the direction of where Jace says, I'm putting a whipping on them up here, they just flew by. Of course, we tried to call at them, but they just went on by, heading on south. Old Jace ran that bunch out.
Well, there was once in a while a bunch like that will come
in. The survivors.
That's right. Yes. There was a big rain. So
Jace, how did you get them? You said you pulled a trick.
Well, because we didn't know how much water we had, because we got a 6 or 7.
Give our audience a taste of what it's like when ducks light 150 yards away from you.
Yeah.
How do you get them to you? Because most people don't realize you do it with a shotgun. They're thinking, well, how would that work? Tell them how it worked.
All right. Well, it was about a 6 or 7 inch rain. So
which was another tropical storm. Another tropical depression. I mean, we have just been blasted this year.
So me and the dog, we pulled out because there's a place that one of our best holes, and I looked and I was like, boy, there's a lot of water here. And so I'm in Margo. I haven't ridden it through the water since last year. The first thing that happened when I got on the mound to where it was, which I noticed a lot of water in the area, I was like, where's all this water coming from? Duh. Well, there's a hole. I don't know, rats, dry rot.
You may have to explain an Argo.
Well, it's an amphibious.
It goes through water like they hit the beaches, and that's where it come from.
Yeah.
They hit the beaches at Omaha.
Yeah, well, when I hit the water, it filled up. And so I, luckily.
It wasn't a good boat.
Yeah, it was going to sink. But I got on the mound, and so me and the dog get in there. Well, all the ducks came in the first 5 minutes. They poured in, but they all lit behind me. Which told me
more water back there.
Yeah, they have been coming in there. We call those local ducks. Now they're not local. They've been there,
but they've been there a few days.
Yeah, a few days. Yeah. Well, I saw a bunch of teal come by. Of course, I'm like, you know, getting ready. My dogs, you know, I call. I never saw them again. And so, about 10 minutes into the hunt, I heard them, which is the teal sound.
Yep.
And so, do I have my duck call? Have we ever blown the teal call?
I don't know. Hit it a lick where the people will know, Jace.
No, I have my calls, but not my teal call. But it's a like
kind
little
of a
miniature
pitched
amount. It's like they're kind of laughing, like yeah. So I kept hearing it. Well, I would call, they would call. A lot of times they'll get up.
It'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. I'll tell you that.
Well, that went on for 40 minutes probably, and then I sent
You're
a
just
text
calling back and forth.
And I said, I'm fixed to see if my gun will fire, which means I'm going to make a noise because I want to see what's here. And so I tested my gun. Well, when I did, ducks got up all over the place. And, I mean, I just saw a teal come by because my goal was to shoot one teal.
They had all lit where they lit, but they didn't know you were on the premises.
They didn't know I was there, but when the shot went off, they all got up. Well, I was just trying to shoot one teal for my dog.
Yep.
So, boom, and he folded. And my dog looked at me, which was strange, because usually he just takes off, and I'm like, bah!
Yeah,
it has begun. So he took off. Well, he's halfway out there. I look up, and another one, just because they were just kind of flying, boom. Well, he falls. Well, now my dog's confused. Do you want me to go get that one or this one? So I'm like, I'm motioning to the dog. Well, as I'm getting shells in my gun, because I'm fumbling around looking for shells, I look up, there's two more sitting in the decoys in literally 3 or 4 seconds.
They just came
out. So I wasn't sure how many shells I had, if I had put one in or two, but I'm like, I'm going to shoot these two. Well, when I shot, two more got up, so there was three. So I killed that one. Well, then I killed the next one, and I put it on the next one, and no shell. So I put three shells in my gun. Well, he just turns around and comes back over because early in the year they hadn't been shot, and I missed him.
Yeah.
So that was my miss. So anyway, it was pretty. That was it. It lasted like 2 minutes, and I sent Phil of them a text. I said, "They're coming. They're on their way." I sent Jay because I didn't know what was behind me, but I had seen that big bunch early.
Right.
So my dog actually did good. Well, to finish my story before, so I was actually talking to Phil on the phone. Of course, he was on his landline after the hunt, and I was going to give these ducks away because Jay's like, I got a guy who loves them. I was like, oh, that's gold.
Because we have a few that do it. Hang on. Let's take a break before we finish that. So one of my favorite sponsors on our podcast is Omega XL. And I've had a couple of conversations about pain with Dr. McQuillan because there's been a lot of research that they've done about this product. So Dad and I are taking the product, and I always get a little bit nervous when my bottle starts getting low if my next one's going to come in. That's how much it's helped me to not have to take any ibuprofen or anything like that. I mean, it's amazing. It basically attacks inflammation, which is, of course, where most of your pain comes from. And it's natural. It comes from muscles that are grown in New Zealand.
The pristine waters of New Zealand.
You always say that.
I know, and I love the way he says it. So basically, if you're having issues, I know a lot of people are using it because you've been sending me emails, and I know a lot of people are being helped. Phyllis just started taking it, my sister. because she's got some issues with her shoulder. So be interested to hear how it helps her as well. So if you're suffering aches and pains, stiffness, you need to try Omega XL. You can order it. You get a second bottle free, so that's great, just because you're a listener to our podcast. So you go omegaxl.com/Phil, omegaxl.com/Phil, or you can call them 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888.
The only pill I take.
So I pull in there, but I was telling Phil about the hunt. As I was giving the ducks away, and I just stuck my head back here at the back end of this feed store, and I was like, I heard somebody loves blue-winged teal. And the guy said, that'd be me. And I thought he looked a little familiar, but I wasn't sure. But anyway, I got him the ducks, and he's like, you don't remember me? And I was, which we went over in an earlier podcast. That's so difficult a question. And I was like, you look familiar, because he did. And he was like, you baptized me. I was like, really? That seems like something you'd remember. Right. But he's like, oh, it's 20 years ago. But actually, it worked out. I mean, a duck hunt kind of brought us back together. And of course, I was like, well, how you doing? And he's like, pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So it was pretty
and
good.
And he took the teal, which was good.
And he said, well, they're a little musty for me. And he's like, oh, I like any duck. He said, I like the mustiness.
Yeah. Which.
There you go.
To each his own.
Which that's why we still hunt them and enjoy them. Yeah, it was a good day. I mean, it's the only day I went this year, and mainly I was just there to kind of help facilitate Dad and Phyllis for the show. But we enjoyed it. It was good. It was a fun thing for her to be a part of for me.
Yeah. Well, we went the next day back together, and she went, so I got to hunt with her. That was the last. I guess that was yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
And we actually saw some, but they wouldn't come in.
Right. Yeah, she loves it. She's
been a couple of times, but it was such a slow year on the teal. But, of course, you got to remember, there were ducks lighting in the decoys, wood ducks.
Yeah.
And she said, how in the world do y'all tell the difference? At this time of day, you barely can. It's almost dark.
Yeah.
But you know what kind they are when they light. I said, it's
years of experience.
Yep.
She was marveling at it. We saw those teal flies. She was like, how would you know that's what they were? I said, well, ducks all fly differently. They have a different wing beat pattern, so we all know it from that.
Yeah, there's stuff you don't really realize. Because she said, how do you know that's not a teal? Because Phil, Si said, he's got a blue patch on it. I was like, no. But I was like, the movement of his head.
Yep.
And she was like, what? I was like, look at how he's moving his head. Right. I said, a teal doesn't move his head that way.
That's correct.
A wood duck does this little...
That's right.
I said, I know it's not a teal. But she's like, well, how would you learn that? And I thought, that's a good question.
Observation.
I guess I didn't notice that I knew that.
It's kind of a little funky 70s. Remember the old dance they had?
So you can't shoot wood ducks during teal season. But we had enough ducks, woodies, wood ducks, light in the decoy. We'd have had a pretty good shoot. But since you couldn't shoot them, the states over there in the Carolinas, you can. They give you a duck, a woody or two that you can kill during teal season.
Really?
They call them mistake ducks because they can't tell
the difference.
I have
to say, statute of limitations is, I hope, run up. But when I was young, I wasn't able to extinguish. So I'd had a few misidentifications.
You have to learn. I'm sure if you get checked
shoot
by the game
warden.
Shoot
the wrong duck. Cost you $150 fine, 5 years unsupervised probation. I mean, look, it's a federal offense.
Literally
to shoot the wrong duck. I mean, these people, y'all talk about rules out there in America. Look, go duck hunting one time. I mean, listen, they got more rules than where you kill two of this kind, one of that kind, three of those kind. You can't have over six total. Well, when everybody gets to looking at what they have, say, okay, let's see. I can't kill but three woodies. You better not have four on you. Just have the three, or it's a fine and all that. So it's stringently too many rules. But, I mean, they mean well.
Well, some of them we've talked about before are kind of silly in that.
Well, some of them are redundant, too.
Well, you can hunt 60
days. Think about it. 250 years and the continent went from a wilderness to skyscrapers, concrete, big old windmill, wind turbines going across, which is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It, by the way, those things kill way more birds than we do.
Oh, exactly.
Just the spinning. So when you look at them on the landscape, you're like, we don't want to fill our – we've got enough stuff already built on it, draining rivers, dammed up this and that and the other. Mm-hmm. Well, you look at the – but the ducks, amazingly, they raise, and most of them in the Canadian wilderness, there's still enough territory where it's still churning out literally hundreds of millions of birds. And you add them all up, cranes, various, you know, snipe, all kinds of migrators. We're watching them all the time. Look at that. They got some snipe. They're just getting here. Well, we're watching them all. Kingfishers, they all migrate. Hummingbirds, we're seeing all these birds that are migrating. Then you have the geese, just big, mighty throngs of them in the air. They knock down jet aircraft. They suck them up in the engine. The old guy that landed on the Potomac.
Those Sully.
There. Yeah, the Hudson.
Sullenberger.
Yeah, yeah. What river? What?
It was the Hudson River.
Hudson River. He had to set the plane down in the Hudson River. Two Canadian geese went through his engines. He, well, you know, I'm going in on the Hudson. They said, come back.
But he was a glider.
Didn't
pilot.
Lose a man.
He was a glider pilot, so which was a break for them. I think about every
I'm
time.
I'm just saying, though, birds offer migrating birds are pretty well. There's times when they will actually shut down airports because they look. At them coming by, you know, at 3,000 to 5,000 feet, and they're like, "Whoa, we need to. That's too many birds to fly through."
That's right. Remember, Jace, we were going.
It's amazing resilient.
We were going to our uncle's funeral in Tyler. It was me, you, and Willie, I think, and Mom, and in a prop plane, the small one. And we were coming in. All of a sudden, I mean, you know, we were probably 500 feet from the runway, and all of a sudden, we just did a straight up. Thing and of course, you know, it all shook us. You know, we looked at each other, and the pilot came on. There's that old Alan. He came on there and said, sorry about that. A buzzard just kind of, you don't want to hit one of them. I mean, a buzzard was coming in there, and he's coming in on landing like this, and all of a sudden, he just goes straight up, which is very unusual. And then he laid it back down, and we landed.
A buzzard in a prop is a bad.
Well, I said, have you ever hit one?
He said,
oh, yeah. And I said, well, did it like cause you? He said, oh, no. We just chewed him up. He said, well, you talk about stink. So he was more avoiding it because he didn't want his plane to stink. But of course, all our hearts, you know, went in their chest, you know, when you have one
that
of them.
That smell was coming from that dead armadillo on the road.
That's right.
The thing ate.
You are what
well,
you
the,
eat.
The one that landed in the Hudson, you know, they hit a Canadian honker.
Yeah.
Which a Canadian honker's. But that's you know a big that bird through if you go through it sucks it up
10, 12 pounds, 15 pounds
in an engine. I mean that's the engines are more susceptible than a prop.
So we're here trying to clean up the sky, but you know, so that's what we do. We're out there just putting our 2 cents worth in, you know. But it is pretty remarkable. It's a 250-year-old tradition,
right?
Hunting birds.
Yep.
So that's still here. But, you know, these people, they pick up the guns. We're looking at them like, are you crazy?
Yeah, well,
I mean, your whole lifestyle is gone.
Right. Yeah.
So we need to hold on to that.
So
that's why the Second Amendment is critical.
That's right.
A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not shooting these kind of guns. And we need our weapons. I mean, we're duck hunters.
And we cycle through it every election cycle. So this year on the duck stamp, there was a whistling duck. Which I think, did y'all see one this year that came
in?
Yeah, there's some.
Well, I saw a bunch.
They're raising where we are.
Yeah, so, right, there's a lake in town right by the church, right by our church building. And the woman that lives next to that pond, because I saw about 30 of them in there. And I was like, those look like ducks. But I said, what are they? And then I got to looking at them.
Tree ducks.
Yeah, they were. Then she said every year they migrate in. I think they've just
come up from South America
or wherever they came from. Right?
Yeah,
when the climate started getting a little warmer, and it is, these ducks just started migrating up from South America.
They're coming up, okay.
And they're on the coast of Louisiana, where they were for years now. But now they've migrated on up to North Louisiana. Somebody told me they're good to eat, so I never have tried one of them.
Are they? Can you hunt them? I mean, are they?
Yeah, I think during duck season you can shoot one.
Okay,
but I'm not 100% sure. I will be 100% sure if I discharge my weapon. But there was a bunch of them on my hunt. I could hear them. Once I got the sound, which our pintail wizard,
they sort of whistle, don't they?
Oh, it's a louder whistle, but you can get the sound from your pintail widgeon whistle.
Yeah.
So you need to change. I need to tell them a duck commander because, well, they got a 6-in-1. They call it a 6-in-1.
Yep.
We need to put 7.
7-in-1.
We've added.
He sounds. Now I got to figure out exactly how to emulate, you know, the style.
Do you know if it's the hen or the drake that makes the sound?
No, I just heard that one that came in. I'll do some research.
Yeah.
But if they're good to eat, and we now have them. I'd never seen one hunting in my life. Well, this year,
Jay said if you can't kill one, he wants to mount one just because it's unique and different.
Well, they got big old legs on them. I was thinking, you know, turkey legs.
I think there's a couple of different kinds. One of them they call a fool of a tree duck.
I think that's what we have.
He has long legs, like a crane,
right?
And but he's an ugly joker. But but you know, they claim they're pretty good to eat. I saw one that had about five little ones about a couple of months ago. I said, well, good night. I didn't know them tree ducks were raised on us.
On our place?
Yeah. They had raised off. She'd raised off a brood because she'd come off the bank. There was a couple of more sitting there. Yeah. But then she had about five little ones following her, you know.
Right.
We have alligators and stuff. So, you know, for a duck to make it, you know.
That's incredible.
I mean, between the hoot owls and the alligators and the otters and the mink and
survive.
The fox and bobcats, everything's after them. I mean, so out of a brood, like wood ducks, she'll lay 12 eggs in a hollow tree, but about four make it from all the varmints eating on them. But the reason they all might have made them, food source for man and beast. Right. So
let's take another break. One of the things that has unfortunately afflicted our nation is people that get in severe debt. A lot of it starts with people going to college. They get these student loans, it's high interest, they get out, they got to pay all this money back, and it just kind of, it's a spiral. It's a bad situation, and it really hurts, obviously, people and hurts our economy. One of the things that you can do to help your credit score go up is go to a group called ScoreMaster, and this is so, you know, if you have to have a loan or whatever for your house, maybe you've had some debt issues, and hopefully you're working on that because we want to try to get you out of debt. But these people can help with raising your credit score. Basically, 97 points, some of them had as high as 61 points in 20 days. So,
well, they basically want to look at your score and not say, heck no.
That's what we don't want. That's exactly right. So a ScoreMaster puts you in control of your own finances, not the banks. You can enroll in minutes. ScoreMaster.com/Phil. That's ScoreMaster.com/Phil, and get your credit score up if you need it. And speaking of alligators, Tony told me, so, you know, I've been down here 45 years, hadn't lived here for 25, but I've never seen an alligator in Thompson Bow, which is right behind our house.
Yeah, we've seen quite a few.
I know, and that's what he said. I didn't.
You need to get out more.
Well, I don't come here.
Yeah, they.
I
started,
come down to do podcasts.
I don't know if they're migrating.
I was shocked
through here, or we've seen more and more.
I know.
Every year.
They've always been here, but North Louisiana not as much as South Louisiana. But these days, we see them everywhere, all over every duck hole we've got. We see alligators.
Oh, I've seen them on the property.
We've got a problem. I think those back-to-back flood years disperse the gators because it's rapid now. Now we're seeing them. I mean, he saw it, which they're kind of like, oh, no, alligators. And I'm like, look.
Yeah,
was with the swamp people the other night. I was like, boy, y'all make that really dramatic. He was like, yeah.
They did for gators what Jaws did for sharks. You know, like it makes it – most of the time people are swimming around. Sharks are swimming around. Nobody – there's no interaction. It's the same with a gator. But you say alligator to people that aren't used to being around them at all, and they're just mortified. Like he's just going to jump in the boat and eat you, you know.
I saw a big splash when the water was like 15 feet deep over there. I had a duck blind over there, and I'm pulling up to it, and we're making sure we got all our ropes tied up. The river's coming up, so it's up 20 feet from dry ground. It's just way up there. So I got about 15 of them big floaters, so I'm out there checking them. I saw a big splash. And I said, that might have been a beaver. I said, I think I'll put a bullet in his head because, you know, they try to build their houses on the duck blinds, and they don't check with me about it. I said, well, so I pull up
squatters.
There. I saw the splash. I just saw a big splash. So I pull up there, and I start following the bubbles from whatever it was. So I'm just on that line of bubbles. I'm right in behind it in my motor, got my gun in my hand, and I see the bubbles. I see them. They're coming on up. And I said, yeah, I'm going to shoot this old beaver. And I got my gun ready. When the thing popped up, it was an alligator head. You know, the alligator popped his head up, looked around. I'm like, I said, well, you know, I thought you were a beaver. You live.
Because we're hoping they'll eat beavers.
It was out of alligator season or whatever you call it.
But, and you're hoping they'll eat beavers, which would take care of your problem.
They eat beavers.
Yeah. So it's just
so oh, he's my friend. See, right. Anything that eats beavers, he's my friend.
Well, and they're really not aggressive.
They're not aggressive.
The only time they're aggressive is when they're on a nest and you don't be stomping around.
They
on
will
the nest.
Get a dog or two down in South Louisiana. They get a few of the dogs
up here too. Yeah, there was a guy that was training his lab in Black Bayou or somewhere up north, and it got him. It was a little old, small, about your color. It was like a.
Oh, them two little dogs I got, they wouldn't last 5 minutes in some of these places around here. I mean, that's just like perfect appetizer for alligators.
Well, and Phyllis and Tony do have a little old hound, and he was down there by the thing. I said, well, if he gets in the water around him, you don't want to do that. Cause,
well, you know they're faster than a human on dry land. Oh, so you think you're going to run? No.
No.
He'll chase you down and eat you.
Yeah, if he was aggressive, we'd be
he's not aggressive.
No. So, Al, what about this person who got a hold of us and
so we got some listener questions that I always like doing these because we get a lot of interesting stuff from you guys and it gives us a chance to kind of get out of our normal study. And one of the questions we got, and I don't have a name for this one, but they said, was the snake an actual snake in the Garden of Eden? And of course, we don't ever talk about this amongst ourselves before we get here, and we were already debating before we got on the thing. So I'll let Dad, you start. You tell us what you think about it.
I would just simply say, what's the story of the donkey that and the talking donkey? Yeah.
Balaam's donkey.
Balaam's donkey.
In the King James, donkey, it's Balaam's ass.
There was a donkey that God spoke through. So when you get into the spiritual world, although sometimes you're looking at it and you're saying, boy, some of this stuff. But I would just simply point out we just covered in John 13, as soon that Jesus said, it is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish is the one that's going to betray me. So there's the disciple sitting there, and we have the way he's going to be exposed. So then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. So I know he can enter human beings. Well, if he can enter human beings, then you would think, based on the donkey story, a talking donkey, you're like, So you say he could enter animals too.
So do you believe it was a snake?
I believe it's possible that because of the donkey story, and the one where he entered Judas, Satan entered him. So in a spiritual world, it's not like the scientific world.
Right.
Well, this is impossible.
Right.
Well, we just have these stories, and you say, is there an answer for them? What's amazing is it snake or not, I can see that Satan would have entered a big snake. And could do any. He's that powerful.
I know
the ramifications of what happened,
right,
with that story. I know that came out of it. You have good God, and evil Satan. Now, how he got here through a snake? Probably it was because of people who are atheists said, "Well, that'd be impossible." You know, Job spending the night in the belly
Jonah.
Of a whale.
Yeah.
They usually pick those aids that, well, that's impossible. In the spiritual world, anything is possible.
Well, that's right. I mean,
that's my answer to that.
Supernatural. I think it was a snake as well. And although, you know, I could be wrong, but it could have been something else. But part of it is because it's so descriptive about, because it says the serpent was more crafty, this is Genesis 3, than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. So, I mean, he puts it in the animal world context.
If that snake, Jay, Al, if that snake, and if Satan can enter him, if that's the way it's going to work, on my part, if you could see the trail of dead snakes that I have killed, I have been a great harvester against Satan, and I have killed many, many of my foes.
Because well,
there's a pile of cotton mouths I've left behind me that will reach this ceiling right
now. If you'd have been in the garden, this
could have avoided this whole thing.
This would have never happened. This whole thing about sin, if I'd been there with a weapon, you say the snake would have never made it that far.
You had to get a stick.
I'd have taken him out.
So whenever, which is funny, because, of course, you know, obviously we're saying this tongue-in-cheek, because at this point in time, before the flood, Adam and Eve, and I guess all of humanity, just had a very common relationship with the animal world. I mean, they didn't have the wildness about them until post-flood.
They were all vegetarians.
That's right. And
well, we know that from Genesis 9.
From Genesis 9. That's right. So, but the reason I think it is, and then I'll let Jace has another theory, I think, it says when he cursed them. So after the, obviously the snake could talk. That's not normal. But I agree with you. I think that's because Satan entered the snake and allowed him to talk. And just think about what that would have sounded like.
The bottom line is I see good on the earth, and the good comes from God. And I see evil. I see them both. Right. For someone to deny, even an atheist knows when he breaks the law. He knows when he sins. His conscience tells him that.
Right.
Well, you know, I know I'm saying I don't believe in God, but what I'm doing right here, this is not right, so I need to really cover my tracks here. And they scheme and all this stuff that comes out of it. Right. So there is evil on the earth. There is good. And the story on where he came from through a snake is a pretty heavy one to believe. But I'm looking at the rest of the Bible. And the good and evil part.
There's supernatural stuff everywhere. So to say, well, now that could never happen. Well, you could say that about every story in the Bible. There were three things that happened. First, the snake was cursed. And here's what God told the snake. Now, you think about, well, that's not fair to the snake because it was Satan that was, you know, if that's the case. But here's what he said about the snake. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals, which, by the way, I believe is why there's a trail of dead snakes. Or if one comes out on the road, people will run off the road.
Plus, another good point is you have among the animal world, when you get to snakes, you have the vast majority, which is a good thing, of snakes are good snakes.
Yeah, we only kill poison snakes.
They're not going to hurt you.
Right.
But there is a percentage of them in there, speaking of good and evil, there is a percentage of snakes that you don't want to fool with. They are sneaky, and they will bite you without any kind of warning. I mean, some even have a warning device, the rattlesnake. Yeah. You hear that buzz, you better stand close. You better watch what you got going there. But I'm just saying, among snakes, there's good and evil.
All right, let's take another break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
He says, you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life, which implies to me that this early version of the snake had legs. He's walking.
And most people are afraid of any snake.
Right.
Why are they so afraid of any snake?
Well, that's right. Something's
because they
in there.
Do a lot of damage against just regular poor snakes.
So let me give the rest of my theory.
Phil, it's just like people who can't identify ducks. Well, I mean, like if Missy sees a snake, she has no idea. You would immediately know that's a rattlesnake. She wouldn't know.
Right.
She wouldn't know.
So she's frightened.
Well, I'm just snake. Feels like, yeah. Well, how come? Yeah. I really think that's it. They're not. They don't identify a snake. They just see snake. I mean, size is the same way.
So let me read you this. So this is my theory on why I think that was an actual snake inhabited by an evil spirit. Pythons and boa. This is from the American Museum of Natural History. Pythons and boa constrictors, so the big boys, they have tiny hind leg bones buried in muscles towards their tail, the end of their tail. Little bitty flanges that at one point were legs. Really? So, wow. Such features, either useless or poorly suited to performing scientific specific tasks, are described as vestigial. So it's vestigial leg bones. They are also intriguing. Then they say they are also intriguing evidence of the evolutionary history of the species. So they're saying by evolution, they lost their legs.
But evolution, we've had this argument before. I don't want to have it again. I mean, I'm like, things evolve. That I think God set that in motion.
Sure he did.
That doesn't bother me. But, you know, it's like our people are. We don't want to admit anything.
Right.
I mean, things evolve.
So my theory
is, God have set it up where?
My theory is, what if there's the big boys are up walking around in this period, but then when the curse happens, there's no more walking around. From now on, you're going to slide around.
I love that. I mean,
that God would have done that.
It's possible.
I like that. The parts that's what I look for. Since I'm an outdoors person, I look for evidence where you read a verse.
Yeah,
and he says, well, now you're going to slither around. I didn't know that. That was interesting. I think it's an awesome piece of evidence.
Another point is at least interesting that when the Apostle Paul got to the book of Ephesians 6:10 and following, he said, arm yourselves, put on the full armor of God, because we don't wrestle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Now, When you start looking at it, you say that's not where the enemy is.
Right.
The enemy is far more powerful. In other words, we're going against the authorities, the rulers, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil. Listen to this: in the heavenly realms. So even all those thousands of years later, and by my count, about 5,000 years later, after the snake in the Garden of Eden, if we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, that tells me there is a spiritual world out there with a lot of crazy going on within it. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'll recommend a book for our audience. It's the best book I've ever read on spiritual warfare. A guy named Joe Beam wrote it, and it's called Seeing the Unseen. Seeing the Unseen by Joe Beam.
Agree.
It is outstanding. Because he goes into all those patches like you just mentioned. There's a lot in the whole Bible that talk about evil spirits. That there's sort of a ranking system of Satan and evil and, you know, different. You know, and he talks about the stuff we read about.
And snake or not, to this day, I just got a letter the other day, or somebody showed it to me, where people, they joined the Satanist club. Or, I mean, he's, you know, this it's very various degrees. But there's all kind of groups together, and they have Satan that they bow down to.
Yeah, he sent
to this day.
You a letter?
Huh? Somebody sent it off on a computer. I don't have a computer, but they brought me some information about the Satanists, and the girl said, basically, I've become a Satanist, she said, because I'm so afraid my daughters won't be able to terminate, to abort their children. She had two daughters that she had, and her logic was, I'm so afraid that they won't have the freedom to kill their children because of the current situation with the Supreme Court and everything. You know, they're going to take that right away from me. So I became a Satanist. She said, amazingly, I found out that I've been a Satanist a long time, but I just didn't realize it till now, because it doesn't seem normal to me, but now it's abnormal times, so I've become a Satanist, of which I really was one to begin with. So I have to kill my children, or this whole thing is going to blow up. I have to have that right to do it.
But think about the irony. That
was the logic.
She had two daughters that she didn't terminate, and she wants them to have the right to terminate other children.
She said, I've never had an abortion. I have two children, my two girls.
That's fascinating.
But I'm worried. But I just thought to myself, I said, what in the world kind of logic is that? Give your daughters that you let live, give them the ability to kill their offspring for no reason, and then become a Satanist, and then say, whoa, I guess I've been a Satanist for a while. Now, we don't worship Satan. We don't bow down to him. We just think he's right when it comes to us having the right to kill our children.
Well, you talk about single-issue voters.
I read it and just sort of shook my head, and, of course, in the trash can it went. But, I mean, I'm thinking, girl, I said, why would you come up with that scheme in order to just kill an unborn child?
It validates more of what the Bible says.
And, again,
she's actually validating herself.
Let's take one last break. I thought of the verse that says he blinds the minds of unbelievers, or you know, the idea yeah. that they get darkened in their understanding. I mean, to follow the Herb logic path to where that wound up, that's a pretty that's a dark.
Listen to what Isaiah said. Whom are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? These are the people that are mocking God. They sneer. They read about, you know, Satan being in snakes, then they're like, what in the world? Are you not a brood of rebels, the offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. You're just immoral and perverted to the core of your being. You sacrifice your children in the ravines. They would walk up to those cliffs and just chunk them. Their child just bounce off the rocks down there. Yeah. That's what they were doing in the days of Isaiah. Well, when you look at it, you read this, and you sacrifice your children in the ravines. You go to a little secluded spot and just throw them away. That's what they were doing in the day of Isaiah. And he was saying, you are a brood of liars, offspring of liars.
There was another group. I can't remember which prophet it's in, maybe Isaiah, and they talk about the fires of Molech. So they would build these iron altars and get a red hot fire and then just throw their children in the fire.
Yep.
They were sacrificing them to Molech. This is
they've been killing their children ever since they were on planet Earth. Now when you say, well, Satan threw a snake and he introduced evil to the world and the downfall of mankind and the sin spread from there all the way to right now where I'm seated, you're like, when you look at it that way, you're like, so you believe there's good and evil on the earth? Well, where's it coming from? What's the source of both of them? What's the source of good? Is there a source for good? Is this Jesus real? And what's the source of evil? No matter how it got here, it's a wild story, but I'm looking at it. I know one thing, good and evil, it's here,
that's right,
and I've tasted both of them.
Isn't it interesting, though, going back over thousands of years of human history, that killing of the innocent has always been a thing?
It's always been a thing.
I mean, and you think it's the worst thing. Like, it's the worst possible thing I could imagine.
The thing is people kicking, to come up with. The baby is kicking inside the womb, and you know how it got there, sex. You said that's how it gets there. And it's the way things work. Everybody knows it. That's how you get them. And he's moving around, and you're like, but it's really not a person. And you're like,
yeah.
Well, you were there.
Goes
once.
Off the rails.
You were right there at one time. Yeah. Yeah. Where was it you? And they're like, well, it was me then, but I wasn't a person yet. You say, well, you're standing here. You were inside a womb, and you came out of the womb a person. And it's you, and there's no one like you on planet Earth. You were in the womb at one point, and you're telling me now there's not anybody in there.
Right.
I'm like, well, you just came out of there.
Or this crazy woman, this crazy woman whose mother had her, and then she had two daughters, and now she's saying, but I want them to kill my grandchildren.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
That's when it comes to evil, and we saw it was introduced through a snake. You're like, maybe it's just God saying, this is like a deadly poison viper.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sanger, Margaret Sanger, the
and
woman.
For some reason or another, all human beings, especially females, are deathly afraid of any kind of snake if they find them, like we found one in here.
Oh, it was a rat
snake. I looked at him.
It was a rat snake.
They said, what do you think? And I said, non-pointers, let him go. He's catching mice. That's a rat snake.
That's right.
He catches
You saw
mice.
What he was after, Jace, when
I
you came
I saw a mouse coming in, so he needs to do his job.
So I wanted to...
So wrap it up.
We just got a couple of minutes left.
It's possible that Satan can enter anything.
Yeah.
He entered Judas. He entered the donkey. Well, he entered the snake.
So whether
What's your take, Jace?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't,
and it doesn't matter, but it's interesting.
It doesn't.
Discussion.
It doesn't.
Well, we've crossed a threshold here some of our fan base said, we want more of Old Phil than less of Jace. Jace has finally admitted, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know.
That's why I hadn't been saying anything. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on this one.
I definitely moved the needle on you when you learned that about the legs and the pythons, right? I mean, the leg bones.
Well,
the,
I liked it, but I've always viewed Genesis kind of like a new revelation. I mean, he wasn't giving you, the purpose was not to give you every detail of how this all happened. Because a lot of impossible things are happening. So I don't think that's the intent, because we have so many questions that will never be answered. So I just think it's a, it's right. an overall view of how we got here. Get the point. God,
they call it
God
a
made
metaphor,
it.
A metaphor.
Yeah, there's a line of thinking in Christian universities now that the first 11 chapters of Genesis are not literal people or things, which I don't agree with that. Because I tend to, I try either. To take it literal if it
well,
is. Now,
well,
but to your point,
I'm
there
saying
are some things
I'm
kind of
in between. I feel like Adam and Eve, you know, were real, but where, you know, where were the other people, and did they were there? Because all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute, they're reproducing even
well,
after the flood.
I've got a theory on that too, but I don't have enough time to talk
well,
about.
Well, what
it.
I'm saying now, there's a lot of theories that come
correct
from that, and it doesn't matter to me. If the snake was actually talking, or it was the only way they could describe how Satan had entered this situation, to me it doesn't matter. I mean, the point is, evil's real. God's team wins. You know, God, because of the occurrences in the garden, had to put forth in motion his scheme of redemption, which
it
ultimately
is, it
brought
is.
Us
so
Jesus.
Hang on, Dad. So let's, we're out of time for Unashamed, but I got to make my point now, and I want to hear what Dad has to say. So for those of you in the woods that have that, you can continue to hear this little bit of bonus.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.